You guys, how often do you take time to encourage others? What do you think? How often do you take time to encourage other people?
Daily?
Sweet. I love exhortation, I love admonishment and all that, but I mean like encourage somebody, tell them, man, good job, you're doing great, you can do it. I see this in you, like respect for the fact that they are image bearers of God. Don't lie to people. Don't tell them they're doing a good job if they're not, but I'm going to encourage you, see what I did there, to look for ways to encourage people. I get to do this on a regular basis, and I'm designed by God to be an encourager, but I'm telling you, today's message is so encouraging to me. And I want to ask that your eyes and your ears and your hearts would be open to what it is that God would have for you, and that you could not just take it in and enjoy it, OD on it, and then just go on about your day, but share it. Share Jesus. Share his good news. We're in this series called 16 Verses, One Story. And it comes off this book, the whole story of the Bible in 16 verses. And so we're going through the 66 different books here without actually touching every single one of them, but we have a thread all the way through. We're talking about being rooted in Jesus, being rooted in his word, being rooted in what he has for us. If you'll join me in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, we're going to talk about this just briefly, where we are seeing this idea of being rooted. We understand that the word of God is Jesus. We understand that the word of God is his Bible. We understand that with words, God did what? Anybody remember what God did with words? Everything. He spoke the world into existence. Gosh, you guys, we've got a God that has used words. Remember that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's a lie. That's a lie. But words will also build you up. And you all, we get to choose what we're going to do with that. There's a passage in the Bible that says, where words are many, sin is not absent. That's been like applied to me. And it's good. Where words are many, Aaron is not absent. But I got some words for you today that are God's words, and I got some words for you that are my words. And as I've prayed before, and I pray every single morning when I'm preparing on a Sunday and when I'm studying throughout the week, God, let what I say just go up into the wind and blow away if it's not from you. But what you say in me and through me, let it take deep root and grow in my brothers and sisters. And so with that, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Look, I want to tell you that I'm thankful for a whole lot of things, but I'm most thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that he's given me life. I'm thankful that he's given me an opportunity to be a part of what he's doing all around the world, including in this building, but really not kept in this building. Got a chance to see a bunch of people go outside of their comfort zone in such a massive way yesterday. We were trained up, reminded of the good news. It's our identity. We're new creations, and we're called to be his ambassadors. You can't keep it to yourself. Jesus himself said, you're a city set, what, in a bunker? No, man, come on. Where are we set? On a hill. Like, you can't help but shine. But some of us are like, I'm going to put a little shade. I don't want to be too bright. And that's what's going on with my hair today. It's just so bright. See all of it. Somebody asked me, what's wrong with your hair? I'm like, it's leaving me. But we're more than just a shining example off of a forehead. We're a shining example of Jesus Christ and his love, his grace, his good news. He'll never let you down. How many people sang that and were like, well, there was that one time. Anybody besides me sometimes go, gosh, that's a tough one to sing sometimes. But has he actually ever let you down? He hasn't done what you've asked him to do sometimes. And you can bring up, well, you said if I ask in Jesus' name that I'll have it. And you're not asking for a Beamer. And you're not asking for a better house. You're not asking for more hair. You're not asking for more height. You're not asking for more of anything other than him. And you're like, where are you? And then we sing. What? Did you sing something that talks about where he's at? Everywhere I go, I see you. Anybody struggle with that one? Have you watched the news? And yet, gosh, this broken world shows signs of God's glory everywhere. How many of you, and don't raise your hand because it might be a shameful thing. How many of you, when you had a chance to get up and tell somebody Jesus loves them, that you went about 1 foot? Jesus loves you, honey, and he loves you too. Let's sit back down. I mean, good golly, we have such a great gift to be able to show the love of Jesus Christ, as long as it's comfortable. As long as it fits exactly where we want it to fit. Thank God that he didn't wait for it to fit exactly the way we wanted to fit to come and show us his good news. Consistently, by the way. Remember the first gospel that we talked about? The very first gospel? Where was it found? Is it what we're going to read today in the book of Mark? Where was the first gospel found? Where at? Isaiah's good. There's one before that. Genesis what? Good job, by the way. Yeah, come on. Good job, Rachel. He, the serpent, will strike your heel. You will crush his head. Proto-evangelion, the first gospel. God said back then, you're going to win in me. You go away from me, you lose. That's a fair warning, right? And every single one of us have proven that apart from him, we can do nothing. But in him, we can do anything that he calls us to do. So we're going to talk about Jesus. So I'm going to ask you today to open up your mind to learn about God, to learn about others, to learn about yourself, and then do something about it. Okay, here we go. Christ. I thought that word was a swear word growing up. I'm not going to ask you again to raise your hand if you've used that as a swear word. But I literally thought, I mean, my mom, I love that lady so much. She led me back to Jesus. And it would have took something miraculous to lead me back to Jesus because I thought I knew who he was and I was so far from him. But my mama, who was really far from him growing up, came to him. And she invited me back. And it took me a while because I'm prideful. Did you notice I said, I'm prideful, not I was. Now I'm a pastor and I'm in Jesus. No more pride. You already mentioned your hair, bro. We know about your pride. You guys, she used to use the Lord's name in vain and add words to it that I'm like, whoa, mom, I don't think that's how that goes. But now she knows that he's Messiah, defeater of all enemies, including even geopolitical enemies, but not the way you and I think. Maybe not the way we have assumed. And when the people heard Christ, they heard Christos in the Greek or they heard Mashiach in the Hebrew, they thought Messiah, and they were thinking, he's going to come back and clean it all up. And you guys, you know, we've talked about this, that there's these Abrahamic covenant and this Mosaic covenant and the Noahic and the Davidic, all these covenants. And they were like, yeah. And when the Messiah comes, he's making it all better. He's fulfilling all of that. He's cleaning it up. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And you think we're waiting. He's already come. He's coming a second time. And when he comes that time, he's going to look like that Messiah that everybody thought. He comes and every knee bows. Every tongue confesses. And we're like, yeah. But we've actually made that a political thing. When he talked about his kingdom, as we're going to see, he was talking about the rule and the reign in the heart of mankind. And that's where it's got to start, right? Can you actually be forced to follow somebody? No, but, I mean, we're super excited that we're not having to wear masks. Do you know there's lots of other places where they were already, we're not doing that. I mean, choose, but we're not doing it. We're not giving in, because you can't force me to do that. And yet some of us were forced to do it. How many of you besides me would feel a tiny little bit of guilt if you did or didn't wear a mask? And so nobody can make you bow. I'm just talking with Zach about this, right? Humility. God's humility is to be less of us and filled with him. Nobody can put that on you. Only you can wear humility. The outfit's laid out for you, but the second time Jesus comes, humility is coming whether you want it or not. And so today, we're talking about the first time that he came. We've brought all the way to this point. We've been Old Testament all the way up until this point, and now it's like, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I've been talking about him the whole year, by the way. But now it's like, oh, we're reading his name. It's not like a thread and you got to look and you're like, okay, oh, there you are, Peter, right? I mean, it's like, yes, that's a reference to a movie. But it's Jesus, unashamedly. And they were looking for the Messiah over and over again, friends. And guess what? When he came, they missed him. Let's go to Luke 2, 25 through 32. Some of you are like, Luke 2, it's not Christmas. I know. But this story preaches all year round. There was a man, and he was old. He was ready to go. But God had promised him something before he would go. He was devout and he was waiting. Listen to this. Luke 2, 25 through 32. This is about waiting and waiting well. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ, Messiah, Savior of the world, ruler, King of kings, Lord of lords. I'm going to see him. The Lord told me I'm going to see him before I die. And so that he came in the Spirit. Three different times we hear about this. He is filled with the Spirit. The Lord told him in the Spirit. And then in the Spirit, he was in the temple. Yeah, hallelujah, Noah, tell it. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, child, baby, 41 days after he was born, to dedicate him, just so happens that Simeon's in there. And when they brought him to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms. Could this have been any weirder for the family? I'm bringing my baby to dedicate him, and this old man grabs him up. They're like, okay, keep your eyes on him. But watch. He said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Again, thread all the way through. Never just for the Jews, for everybody. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. I've seen your salvation. And he's a baby. You are waiting for things to be made new. You and I are longing for them to be made new. We're crying out to Jesus to come back, seeing the dirty, nasty stuff that we've seen. Sickness, violence, poverty, decay. And this old man's like, I can die now. I've seen salvation. And we got it better than he does. We've seen that salvation grow up, that salvation die, that salvation rise from the dead, that salvation give his spirit, that salvation be consistent for thousands of years. And how are you waiting? Are you very good at it? I've heard many people say, I don't pray for patience, because then God will give me stuff that I have to be patient with. Friends, he already knows what we need. He's giving you patience, all right. He doesn't just normally lift the lid and drop it in. On your way, next, right? It's like we grow. We wait. We see him be consistent. We look around and we see him everywhere. I mean, why do we even have to have a fire station that's really uninhabited now? No offense. I mean, this all, why do we have those? Why do we have police? Maybe you could say, thank God you've given me something that can help. We either praise God because a rose bush or a thorn bush has roses, or we curse God because the rose bush has thorns. What way are we looking at it? Are we patient and trusting that God, the Savior of the world, has taken care of us and fulfilled all the things that he said he was going to fulfill? Or are we like, could you just show me something else? And you know what? By his amazing grace, he will. But Jesus said, even if somebody rose from the dead and came back to tell you, you probably wouldn't believe them. And he was talking about this guy, Lazarus. There's two different Lazaruses. You can look it up. There's this rich guy, Lazarus, who is separated from God forever. And he's like, Lord, please send somebody from the dead. Send that poor man that I used to ignore to tell my brothers. I don't want them to miss out. And he's like, if they're not listening now, they're not going to listen. Eyes to see and ears to hear are a gift from the Holy Spirit. And so here we are, this Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord. We just read that in Colossians. And then we just read in Luke that Jesus Christ, the Lord, was a baby. And he's the Savior. Can somebody remind me why he came? Anybody? To save us. Thanks, Carol. From what? From us. Save us from us? Good. That's fair. Anybody else got another thing to add to that?
Save us from himself.
Save us from himself? Like, oh, okay. Do we deserve to be judged, though, Dave? We're just normal people.
Sinful nature.
Oh, from a sinful nature. Good. To reconnect us with the Father, can God judge us? Look at the tats. Only God can judge us. And he judges. We're saved from his judgment in Jesus. Let's go to Mark. I'm going to whiz through Mark 1 through 8 really, really quick. And some of you are like, you always say that. But no, seriously. I want you to look for it. Look for something to learn about God, learn about others, learn about yourself. And what are you going to do about it? It's this. Mark is like this fast-forwarded gospel. They don't even talk about Jesus' childhood. We just got a little piece of that with Simeon in Luke 2. But check this out. Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." I'm sending somebody ahead, preaching something. What? Well, check it out. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance, changing direction, for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." There's one coming mightier than me. I'm preaching baptism of repentance, and I'm baptizing you in water, and I'm telling you that you're a mess and you need help, but there's one coming that's mightier than me, and he's going to baptize you in the Spirit. You're going to be born again in him. This whole message is so powerful. There's one coming mightier. That means you have to keep waiting a little bit, he's saying to the people. He's coming next. I'm here as a forerunner. I'm here to tell you that where you're at isn't working. You need something better. And he's talking about the Messiah because so many people actually thought that John was the Messiah. And he's like, no, don't get it twisted. There's one better than me. He didn't take that on himself. Lots of pastors and leaders love to be considered the Savior. The problem with that is we're not. Only Jesus is. And I think that's a really good problem. I'm going to let you down. Other people are going to let you down. All of that failure should bring your eyes away from people and up to the one who will never, ever let you down. That's good news. There is one. I love this in this book, the whole story, the Bible in 16 verses. He says, "Who else could keep both sides of the covenant but God?" Remember that? We talked about that, right? God has to keep both sides of the covenant. You know what he had to do? He had to become a human, that he could live a life that nobody else could live, and he would die a death that lots of people could die, but he didn't die because of his sin. He died because of ours. And this is what all of it was pointing to. And so finally, we've learned a little bit about Christ, Messiah. How about Jesus? They knew that there was going to be a Christ. They knew there was going to be a Messiah. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Where is he? Well, his name's Jesus. And John had even said, "Hey, look, he's coming. There's one mightier than me." And so let's pick it up. Verse 9 of Mark 1, 9 through 13. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Super cool. Dig into this a bit, but this is Trinity. People trip on that, like, there's no such thing. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bam, right there, that little passage. Really, really cool. I know. There's more. Verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Hold on. More waiting? He just, like, look, there's this dude coming, and he's the one. Baptize him. He's the one. Everybody sees this. Here's the voice. Woo! Messiah's here. Out into the wilderness you go. But this time, the wilderness experience, no sin. No failure. Let me show you how it's done in God. The waiting, we need to see it. We need to wait well. We need to be like Simeon, like, look, I'm hanging in there. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm in the temple. Woo! I got to see the salvation. There's a baby. What? That's salvation? Yeah, God's got all kinds of things going on that you and I wouldn't even believe if he told us. He did tell us in advance. And so, more and more chances, because you think you are working on patience, God is patience. And he's really, really kind to be patient with us. So he's baptized. God says, you're my dude, you're my boy, I love you, I'm well pleased with you. And then the Spirit immediately takes him from that point, drives him out into the wilderness. Verse 13, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. You guys remember a prayer by Jesus in Matthew 6? Somebody remember the Lord's Prayer? You memorized it in the King James? You always get to that spot when they say it either at a memorial service or a wedding or even at church, and you're like, do we say debtors or transgressors? I don't know, what are we going to do here? But did you miss in there? Lead me not into temptation. Who was he praying to? It wasn't Satan. I'll give you that easy answer. That's God. Does God lead us into temptation? I mean, I can tell you from the book of James, God isn't tempted by evil, nor does he tempt with evil, but did you guys just agree with me that sometimes when you pray for stuff, it comes in a way that you weren't really expecting? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. God leads us into temptation. Not to tempt us with evil, but to strengthen us with him. Just because I'm tempted doesn't mean that I have to do it. Jesus is our example, friends. Well, but you just don't know how hard it is. Yeah, I don't. What part do we want to talk about? My appetites? Do you want to talk about my appetite for attention? My appetite for food? My appetite for acknowledgement? I'm tempted all the time. And sometimes I overcome it. But every time I can because of who Christ is. 1 John 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Take heart, little children, you've overcome the world. Well, I just don't feel like I have. I'm going to love you enough to say, you need to get out of your feelings and into who the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world is, and it's not you. Good news, you couldn't make those balls stay in the air. So we repent. There's a repentance. There is a recognition that it's not you, it's him. He's the only one who could overcome, and he showed it multiple ways. This is a very specific one. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. You see, if angels were just ministering to me, I'd totally have it. I could do it. Dear friend, they're all around. They are God's messengers, his helpers. We don't worship them, we worship him. And they're there. There's nothing that has become, or nothing that has overcome you. And you won't be tempted by anything that isn't common to man. But he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle without giving you a way out from underneath it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 blows up the, God knows, never give me anything that I can't handle. Who says? Have you had stuff happen that you can't handle? How about you guys? Ladies, I know you're tougher, but you too? I mean, seriously. He gives us so much we can't handle. God, I love what you cook up to get me to look up. There's so much that I can't handle. And then so I say, God, I know I can in you. Remember the whole forgiveness? Hey, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Oh, Peter, good one. No, 70 times seven. 490 times, that's a lot. Oh, no. I'm saying every time you get a chance, forgive from your heart. Do you think that if you start making a habit out of forgiveness, that you're going to get to 490 and go, time's up? Some of us are probably in the 300s going, that's getting closer. But God's not calling you to that. He's calling you to be like him, to not be him, but be like him, and to let him lead you. And so here's the first little speech, finally, from Jesus in Mark. All this stuff happens. Verse 14, now after John was arrested and beheaded for doing what was right. Anybody that tells you following Jesus means that you get out of jail, that you get out of problems, that you get out of pain, you get out of agony, is lying or trying to sell you something. But what he does do is he sets you free for eternity. He sets you free to live for him today and forever. But after John was arrested and beheaded, Jesus came into Galilee. Super cool thing. John 4 talks about Jesus speaking to a woman, a Samaritan woman, at the well. It happens right here. Down in Judea, in Jerusalem, John gets beheaded. And Jesus is like, it's probably a good time for me to move on a little bit. And he goes up to Galilee, and he could have gone around Samaria, but he went through it, and he met this woman. Go check that story out in John 4. It's really cool. This is when it happened. And so what was he doing all the way? Proclaiming the gospel of God, the good news of God, the kingdom of God. And he was saying, the time is fulfilled. I'm here. Simeon already knew it when he was a baby. Now he's 30 and he's like, look, for all of you who have ears to hear and eyes to see, here I am. The time's fulfilled. All of what you were looking forward to, people, is now before you. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Here I am. I'm the kingdom and the king of God's kingdom, all at the same time. And I'm right here. This is great news, friends. And then he says, repent and believe in the gospel. Can we go to Jesus' three-point message real quick? I know I just read it for you, and thanks, Paige, for sticking with me as I jump around. Here's the 3 points. The time is fulfilled. All the covenants, prophecies, promises are fulfilled in Jesus. of them. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. Adam failed to spread the kingdom. Jesus completely succeeds. The kingdom's here. The kingdom's at hand. I asked you last week and then the week before that, where's the kingdom of God? Can you guys get a pointer finger going for me real quick? If you are in Jesus Christ, if you are his beloved, you have recognized that he's God, you've repented and believed, then the kingdom of God is right here. Like now. His rule and his reign is happening now. And you get to tell more and more people now. You get to show more and more people now. You get to remind yourself now. You get to remind your loved ones now. You get to be reminded over and over again now. So the final thing he says is repent and believe in the gospel. Turn your back on sin. Don't run to it. Turn from it. And believe what God has said is true. Dr. Chris Bruno, the author of this book, says Jesus, the representative of God's people, would do what they could not do for themselves. And he called them to believe that it was finally happening. The time that they had been waiting for had finally come. And he's still God. And he's still Savior. And he's still King. And he's still living in us. Why has he not come back yet? That's not ours to know. We do know that he's not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness to be. He's not wanting anyone to perish. So rather than sell all your stuff, get a white robe, stand on a hill and wait. Okay, you said you're coming back. I should have sold my watch because I just keep looking at it. You guys, instead of that, we live and we share and we proclaim the kingdom and we live the kingdom and we repent and we believe. Not so you can finally be saved, but because you are saved, so you turn from your sin that so easily besets you, and you believe. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We get to celebrate the victory and all of what comes after that. We get to live that out. So three things I have for you today. Trust Jesus. Follow Jesus. Share Jesus. We have a lot of opportunities for you to be able to do those things in group. But daily, you get to get into this and be rooted. And you get to talk to him and you get to listen to him and you get to share him. What a great gift. What a great gift. It's his kingdom. It's his rule. It's his reign. We ask for help with things because, well, this is going to sound a little bit obvious, but we need it. We remind you to keep giving financially because not only do we need it, but the world needs it. There's opportunity upon opportunity. Some of you have houses that you're like, I just want to use it for God's kingdom. Don't hold back. Start inviting people. Start using it. There's people that have gifts and abilities, but I gave at the office. Friend, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Give at the office, give at home, give at church, give at Fred Meyer. Really should probably go over to Grocery Outlet. There's a lot of giving that's needed over there. I love that place, but seriously. You know what we do? We look outside and we see people parked and they're living in their cars and we're like, somebody should call the cops. Now, I'm not asking every one of you to go knock on that door and say, hey, how you doing? Jesus loves you. But would you consider, what is God calling you to do? To trust him, to follow him, and to share him? Oh, he would never want me to do that. Why? Because it makes you uncomfortable? Can you tell me somewhere in the Word where God says, I will never call you to be uncomfortable? It may not. Well, that's just not for me. Good. What is for you? What are you going to do to share Yahweh, to share the good news, to share this three-point amazing message, right? Listen again. Time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus says repentance is really important, but belief is too. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved, and you'll live like it. Confession, belief, repentance, turn from sin, not to it. The sin of comfort, the sin of pride, the sin of fear, sin of the appetites that are never satisfied by our own. So he came and he fulfilled all of it. Yep. Who else could? It was just him. It was only him. It was always going to be him. And he did so we could be set free and reach people that have wandered away, reach people that don't even know yet. We heard a story yesterday at this 411 training about a young lady in a cupcake store in the U District. She had a cross on. My friend Evan says, oh, cool. Hey, so are you a Christian? Oh, no. Oh, well then, what's the cross? I think Jesus died on it. Oh, have you heard that story yet? Nope. And so he shared the good news with her. This world is broken, but it started perfect. We thought we could do better. That's how it got broken. We try a bunch of other things. It doesn't work. We keep coming back to how jacked up it is. But God said, I don't want to leave it jacked up. Here's the door. His name's Jesus. Let me repent and turn from my stuff. Believe that Jesus is it. He's the king of my life. And he makes me whole and new and a new creation. And I will be 100% new. And the world to be 100% new, and he wants people to do that. And she's like, oh, okay. But she heard it. We plant and we water, and God makes it grow. For those of you who don't know the good news that's just been presented to you, will you repent and believe? For those who already know it, share it. For those who repent and believe, now you go and share. Oh, but I got to be like weirdo up there and have, no, you get to be your own weirdo. And go share the good news. It's weird. Why would anybody have hope? Because Jesus is alive. Okay. That's got to be enough. So let's pray. God, today and every day, I rejoice in the fact that you are so good and you are so God and we are so not. But we're your people, and you've made us new. We want to trust you, Jesus, and follow you, Jesus, and share you, Jesus. Would you help us to be good people who wait? Not wait to do good, but wait on you making all things new, starting, Lord, with us. You have done more than we could ever hope for or imagine, and you will do even more than we could hope for or imagine. So would we trust you and follow you and believe you? And tell the world all about you. God, I pray this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.